Good morning, seminary family. It's a privilege for me to be with you this morning and to participate in this glorious worship session. My topic today is a divine hookup. How to plug in to God's incorruptible power. And my text is taken from Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help this small preacher to deliver your big message in such a short time. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Let's start by looking at the center of our text. Lord God Almighty. I've come to tell you today that God can do anything that he wants to do. He is omnipotent. He is almighty. But there is a danger that we may not take God's power seriously. Why do I say that? I was reading the story of Abraham, the father of faith. And God came to visit Abraham one day. You can read the story in Genesis chapter 17. God came to visit Abraham to tell him what God was about to do with his almighty power. God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son in your old age through Sarah in her old age. And the Bible says in Genesis 17:17 that Abraham fell on his face and worshiped. No, said he fell on his face and he laughed at God. We don't always take God's power seriously, even religious people. Abraham was so old, he probably had stopped being intimate with Sarah, so he didn't even tell her what God said to him. So a few days later, God had to come and visit them at home. And he brought two angels with him. And God repeated the message. Says, I'm going to give you a son in your old age through Sarah, your old wife. And how do I know Abraham hadn't told Sarah? When Sarah heard it for the first time, she fell out laughing in the bedroom. You can read it. It's in the Bible. Genesis chapter 18. So we need to take God's power seriously. That's my introduction, right in the middle of our text. Revelation 4, verse 8. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The second point I want to make today, got to move quickly, only got a few minutes, preach a big message. Second point I want to make comes from the first part of our text. Holy, holy, holy is what the angels sing. And I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, angels fold their wings. For angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. God is not only all-powerful, but he is all-holy. In other words, his omnipotent power is incorruptible power, holy power. That's why we worship him here today. We don't just worship him because he's powerful, but we worship him because he uses his power in a holy way. Can you say amen? Amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You may have heard of Lord Acton, who said that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. He was talking about politicians and religious people who have power. But this proverb doesn't apply to our God. Can you say amen? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The Apostle Paul says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, God never lies. And the King James Version wanted to strengthen it, so it says God cannot lie. But God cannot lie because he chooses not to lie. And God is omnipotent, so he can do whatever he chooses to do. And you can't make him do what he doesn't want to do. So God can't lie. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He makes the right choices in his use of his power. That's why he's worthy to be praised. Michael W. Smith has a wonderful song about it. You are holy. You are mighty. You are worthy, worthy of praise. And then he says, I will follow. That's why I've come to preach to you today about the holiness of God and the almighty power of God. God has called us to follow him in making right choices with the divine power that he has delegated to us. The Bible says in Romans, there is no power but of God. Power you used to get up out of your bed this morning, that was God's power. Power you used to walk into the seminary worship hall today, that's God's power. God has delegated some of his power to us, but we need to make the right choices in our use of God's power. We need to say like Michael W. Smith, I will follow you, God. Follow your example. But I want to tell you today that you can't follow God without a divine hookup. You can't make the right choices in the administration of God's power without plugging in to God. In the Bahamas, we have something called water skiing. Here in America, you have snow skiing. We tried that in the Bahamas, but it didn't work. No snow. But in water skiing, you have to have a hookup. You get on the skis on the water, and you hook up to a motorboat. And when the boat takes off, you take off behind the boat, and you walk on water because you have a hookup. You can't follow God without a divine hookup. James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 7, hook up with God. He didn't say that. He said submit. Submit to God. But it's the same thing. Submit to God, and then you'll be able to resist the devil. I like that. Submit to God. Hook up with God. Plug in to the incorruptible power of God, and then you'll be able to make right choices like God does. Plug into God, hook up with God, submit to God, and you'll be able to resist the devil. And then I like the rest of the text. It says, and he will run from you. That's one of my favorite sermons, how to make the devil run. But I don't have time to preach that one today. So we looked at the center of the text, Lord God Almighty, the first part of the text, holy, holy, holy. And now let's look at the last part of the text. We'll spend the rest of our time looking at the last part of the text. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. I want to remind you, in the first place, that God was always faithful. And you can hook up to God's faithfulness with your faith. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 3 about the faith of God. We don't usually think about God as having faith. We could also translate that as the faithfulness of God. The good news is that we can plug in to God's faithfulness with our faith. And with the Apostle Paul, I can say, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I'm proud to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. I'm proud to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God to save everyone who has faith. God is faithful. He has always been faithful. And we can plug into his faithfulness with our faith. That's good news, isn't it? How much faith do we need to plug in to God's faithfulness? Mustard seed faith will do. You don't have to have a lot of faith. What's important is not how much faith you have. What's important is who you plug into with your faith. Through faith, we plug in to God's faithfulness. Luke 17 tells a very interesting story. The disciples came to Jesus, and they said something that sounded very religious. They said, "Lord, increase our faith." I think they wanted to impress him. You know? "Lord, increase our faith." And Jesus said to them, "If you had faith..." Yeah. Trust me, it's in the Bible. Yeah. Luke 17, 5 and 6. "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you'd say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and cast into the sea,' and the tree would obey you." Not about how much faith you have. It's about who you plug into. Another similar story. Disciples took a while to learn this stuff. I learned slowly too. So I'm preaching to myself as well as to you. But a similar story is told in Matthew chapter 17. Disciples had just tried to cast out a demon out of a little boy. You know the story, don't you? They tried to cast out the demon out of the little boy. They even used the name of Jesus. Didn't work. And afterward, they came to Jesus and they said, "Why could we not cast out the evil spirit?" And Jesus said, "Because you didn't have faith. If you had even faith the size of a mustard seed, you would tell the mountain to move, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible to you." If you have mustard seed faith today, you can still plug in to the omnipotent power of God. I'm happy about that. Is anybody here today ready for a hookup? As I stand here preaching to you, I can tell you that only God can turn my mess into a message. But I hooked up with a little mustard seed faith. Anybody here having a test this week? Hook up with your mustard seed faith, and God can turn your test into a testimony. I hear somebody saying, "But Dr. Hannah, your test is not a test, it's a trial." Well, plug in with your mustard seed faith, and God will turn your trial into a triumph. Anybody feeling victimized today? God can turn a victim into a victory. Are you ready for a hookup? I can stop preaching right there. That's good stuff. But I came to tell you today about a three-way plug-in. Have you ever noticed these electrical plugs, three-way plug-in? So first, God was always faithful, and you can plug into his faithfulness with your faith. Second, God is always love, and you can plug into his love with your love. You know the song based on 1 John 4, verse 19, "Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me." A hookup to God's love is a plug-in to God's power. Because the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but he's given you the spirit of power and of love. That means the spirit of the power of love. When we plug in to God's love, we plug in to God's power. Why do we need love if we have faith, somebody says. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5, 6, because faith works by love. Faith works by love. You plug in with your faith, but your faith doesn't work, plug in love also. Faith works by love. According to Ephesians 1, verse 4, this is how we are sanctified before God in love, because our faith works by love. But you can't love God and you can't love me without a divine hookup. Ellen White put it this way in Christ's Object Lessons, page 333. As the will of man cooperates with the will of God, it becomes omnipotent. Hallelujah. I know there was something to this plug-in business. As the will of man cooperates with the will of God, it becomes omnipotent. Faith works by love. How much love do you need? Love is like breathing. One breath at a time will do, but don't stop breathing. James says, as the body without the breath is dead, so faith without the works of love is dead also. Now, you can help me illustrate the sermon today. Just take a deep breath and hold it for a while. While you're holding it, I'll keep preaching. You didn't go very long. Trying to have faith without love is like breathing in without breathing out. Is there anyone here today who is willing to plug in to sanctification through God's love? I must tell you, a big part of sanctification is just being nice. Yeah, Ellen White said if we were nice, there'd be 100 people converted to Adventism, where now we have one. That's how important this hookup is. You've got to plug in to the faith that works by love. Big part of sanctification is being nice. Let's practice it right now. Just turn to the persons on either side of you, give them a sanctified touch, love touch, sanctified love touch, and tell them Jesus loves you and I do too. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So we covered the two parts of the three-part plug-in already. God was always faithful, and we can plug into his faithfulness with our faith. God is always love, and we can plug into his incorruptible power through a faith that works by love. In the third place, and my text here is Romans 15:13. In the third place, God will always be the God of hope. Can you say amen? Amen. God will always be the God of hope. And because he is the God of hope, you may abound in hope through a divine hookup. You may plug into the power of hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah wrote it down in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 24 and 26. The Lord is my portion. How come? You got a hookup. You have a plug-in. The Lord is my portion, therefore I hope in him. It is good that one should hope and wait. We don't like that part. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. He was, he is, and he is to come. We plug into his faithfulness by faith. We plug into his love by faith that works by love. And we plug in to who he will always be by our hope. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's easy to forget about waiting quietly in hope for the salvation of the Lord. So let me give you another text. Psalms 27, verse 14, the last verse of Psalms 27. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your soul. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You say, Pastor, if we have faith and hope, if we have faith and love, why do we need hope? And I take you back to Galatians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, which works by love. Got to get the three parts in the hookup. Plug in to the incorruptible power of God. Galatians 5, 5 and 6, write it down. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, which works by love. So you need the faith and you need the love. But you need to wait too, in hope. How much hope? The great religious writer Chesterton said, hope means hoping when things are hopeless. As long as things are hopeful, hope is not hope. It's only when things are hopeless that hope begins. You can't hope then without a divine hookup. Divine plug-in, else you'll lose your hope. Stories told of a family that lost their house in a sudden fire. And the grandfather was standing outside with his grandson, half-dressed. All that was left was the chimney. And the little boy was crying. But the grandfather said, hush, child, God ain't dead yet. Hope is like being hooked up to an anchor, a good anchor, a strong anchor, an almighty, omnipotent anchor. Even in a hurricane, if we're hooked up to the anchor of hope, we'll be all right. Hebrews chapter 6, 19 and 20, we have an anchor hooked up in heaven where Jesus is ministering for us. That's a good text. Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. We have an anchor into heaven where Jesus ministers for us. This anchor keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. We have an anchor. But you don't need hope unless you're going through a storm. Don't need an anchor unless you're going through a storm. How many of you know that you can go through a hurricane while Jesus is ministering on your behalf in the heavenly sanctuary? Has it ever happened to you? Yeah, he was still ministering when you were going through your storm. But thank God we have an anchor that connects us to him even in the middle of our storms. Now there's something else we Adventists need to remember. That you're going to need an anchor even when Jesus is finished with his ministry in heaven. There's some of us who think that when he's finished with his ministry in heaven, we're going to be able to do pretty well by ourselves because we're so sanctified by then. But you're going to need an anchor even when he is finished with his ministry in heaven. Revelation says there's going to be a close of probation. Jesus is going to say, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. But I like the next word. And behold, I come quickly. Why is Jesus going to come quickly after the close of probation? Well, you see, when he finishes his ministry for us in heaven, he's going to come quickly for us on earth, because we need his ministry down here after he's finished with his ministry up there. You You see, when Jesus finishes his ministry in heaven, there's going to be a time called Jacob's trouble. Have you heard about that? Time called Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah wrote about it in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. Alas, that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he will be saved out of it. How will he be saved? By hope. We are saved by faith. That's justification. We're saved by faith working by love. That's sanctification. We're saved by faith waiting in hope for glorification. I'm standing up to preach to you today because I've decided to hook up and plug in to God's faithfulness, to God's love, and to God's hope. Even during that time of Jacob's trouble, we're going to need Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me read it to you from Great Controversy, page 616. Jacob's night of anguish, when he wrestled in prayer for deliverance, represents the experience of God's people in the time of trouble. His only hope was in the mercy of God. That's what she said. His only hope was in the mercy of God. That's how it's going to be for us when we go through Jacob's time of trouble. No mediator in heaven, but the mediator is on his way to deliver us. And if he doesn't deliver us, we're in trouble. We have faith in him. We love him. And we hope that he will yet deliver us. Is there anyone here today who is willing to join me and say, like Jacob in his time of trouble, I will not let you go. I'm hooked up, I'm plugged in, and I will not let you go. If you're making that statement with the preacher today, would you stand up with the preacher? Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Let's plug in to God's faithfulness. Amen. Let's plug in to God's love. Let's plug into the God of hope. And let's make the devil run. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much that you're an almighty God who makes right choices with your omnipotent power. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Help us to plug in to your faithfulness. Help us to plug in to your love and your hope. And help us to stay plugged in so that we can follow you all of our days. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.